thank you for attending despite the strikes, the flood, and the news. So we have a full 2 days program trying to look ahead of us what could happen in the future in the field of Israel restoration. Most of the meeting, except for the speakers we didn't accept, will be taped, which means that 5 years from now everyone will say that everything we said was wrong, but at least we'll try to pave the way towards a better future for patients affected with blinding disorders. So this is the end of my cycle of teaching, and I already bumped into several of the issues, except for the ones we are going to deal with this morning and tomorrow afternoon. But the expectation is that we are going to open new questions and new avenues. So there is probably no answer, but at least some clues for the future. And John will open the meeting in a moment with the Lasker Initiative, which was a great opportunity of the past 2 years, actually last year and the 2 years before, trying to work on vision restoration. And this has been a great opportunity to listen to many outstanding people and explore potential avenues. And actually, Paul Sieving will close with the audacious goals next tomorrow, so which is how the NIH is trying to support these efforts. This morning, we are going to look into regenerating the optic nerve and trying to reconnect the eye and the brain. This was something nobody could really think about a few years ago, and this has always been something when we talk to patients affected with blinding disease, they ask us, can you graft an eye? Can you regrow my optic nerve? I lost it from glaucoma or trauma. And we used to say, no, unfortunately, the optic nerve doesn't regrow in mammalians. And in the past few years, there have been several very freeing avenues in this field. And last year, there was an article in Science called Second Sight about grafting an eye, which is, I think, very far ahead of us, if ever. But at least this type of big project, like the cancer project from Nixon or going to the moon, opens opportunities to explore small pieces of this big chunk, some chunks of this big cake, and trying to see what we can do. So Alain is going to chair all these sessions, and we'll hear very nice talks about how to reconnect and what we can expect for optic nerve regeneration and reconnection. Taking as an example retinitis pigmentosa, just because for me this has been already 30 years of work in this area, and using a slide that Denis Dalcara had prepared for review, we have different stages of a disease. I don't think we can speak about a stage, but it's a continuum. But if we want just to differentiate when the photoreceptors are just affected with mutations, when the rods are starting to degenerate, when the cones are starting to lose outer segments, and when they are losing the cones, there are different possibilities that can be proposed. It could be gene replacement or gene correction, and we'll hear about that tomorrow morning. It's optogenetics and prosthetics, and these will be the topics of this afternoon and tomorrow morning. Neuroprotection, we'll hear some pharmacology. We had a full day on RDCVF and redox signaling in March, so I didn't put that in the program of today, not because I lost interest in it, this is exactly the contrary, but we didn't want to be redundant with the cycle of teaching. And with respect to cell therapy, I thought we couldn't have enough time, and my opinion is there are so many issues to tackle that except for Olivier's guru talk, we won't have much about cell therapy, which doesn't say that this is not part of the future. So looking at all of that, we wonder, is this all going to work? Probably no, and probably yes. Yes, at some stages, and no, if we think about every type of patient at every stage of the disease. And I think the question on the stage of the disease, early intervention, late intervention, is going to be coming back and forth all the time during these discussions over the next 2 days. For RDCVF, just to summarize, and on neuroprotection, because there would be any opportunity to talk about that today, I'm just putting the review that Connie Sepko wrote in the News and Views on our article in Cell with Thierry last year, and several authors are in the room, trying to regrow the outer segment. So it's regeneration of part of the cells, and there is this big opportunity that we are trying to explore now, but we won't get into that in the next few days. So there are many questions. I'm just listing a few, and I know that John is going to open many more questions, and we'll try to address some of them. When is it too late for gene therapy? Probably we know that gene therapy is going to work, it's starting to work, but there might be maybe a time frame where it's not possible anymore to restore vision just because the cells are dead, or we are beyond a certain time point where there is no chance that it will be restored. When can we protect photoreceptors? And the same type of question, is there a set point where you can't do anything anymore? You can protect the cells and not the function. How much remodeling occurs in the retina, and how much will this hamper the possibility for regeneration? And the same thing holds true for the optic nerve, and maybe even more important for the visual cortex. We had a meeting on Friday on the plasticity in the cortex, visual cortex and auditory cortex, and the crosstalk between the two and the multimodal. And this was quite a challenge to try to get that. But one of the questions we may have, which will be a nice question to have, is cortical plasticity, which is occurring in patients affected with blinding or auditory or deafness, blindness or deafness, is this a chance, or is this also something which could hamper restoration? And all of these questions we try to address on Friday, and hopefully we'll do enough progress in the field of restoration of vision that we can explore this type of question in real life with our patients, and hopefully with benefit for them. There are many other questions. John will open several of these. What probably I just want to stay up front, and I had this in my inaugural lecture, is that we are not trying to augment the human. We are not trying to extend lifespan. We are not trying to give better vision to people who already have good vision. We are just trying to cope with what is remaining. And Daniel Palanker pointed me towards a book called Search for Paradise, which is the history of one of the patients who was one of the first to get in the trials for, not actually a trial, for vision restoration with cortical prosthesis, and this was a real disaster, and his life had been very difficult. This is a very thick book, but it's interesting to look into it. So we are not talking about the $6 million man, we are talking just about helping blind people to get some vision, and we know that this is a very difficult path, and that the promises have to be kept under control. Two opportunities are opening and closing the symposium, as I said. One was the Lasker Initiative, which was driven by John Dowling, and many of us here have participated into that meeting. We started in Paris. John was kind enough to start at the Vision Institute almost 3 years ago, 2 years and a half, and there are several meetings in Woods Hole, at the Janila Farm, and at Arvo to conclude. And the Audacious Goals, I was happy to participate in one of the sessions organized by Paul, and now everyone is looking forward to all the grant opportunities, and more important, to the results of this initiative. So we'll hear about the two of these, and these are very important. And this all revolves around funding. Funding is an important issue. To get the funding, we have to make promises, but we have to keep our promises, and this is even more difficult. And especially when we deal with two of the partners who are not public partners. One are the foundations. We are happy to have Foundation Fighting Blindness here and many others. And also the investors. So tomorrow afternoon we'll hear from one of these investors I've been working with for many years, what investors can do for research. But we have to keep in mind that we need a long-term endeavor, and the long-term endeavor will remain in the hands of public institutions. In France, it's INSERM, CNRS, universities, foundations who are helping us, and there are many, fortunately, helping us in France and in the US and in many countries. And this gives the opportunity to carry a project up to what could be a real proof of concept, and which is not usually the time frame of investors, which is much shorter. But we need them in order to get products to our patients. And Bernard will speak about these different companies and possibilities. And in our case, we are working with, I just listed the main people who are supporting us. And as you will see, it's quite international, European, US also, NIH, Brain Initiative, and the flagships. But important for us are the institutions. We keep us working for years and years at different levels. And this gives us the opportunity to try to give back to the people who are donating and supporting part of what they gave us, which is their enthusiasm, expectations for the future. So with that, I will give a word to John to open the the session with the Lasker Initiative, and just a quotation of Winston Churchill, because we know that nothing is final, fortunately, good and bad. Thank you very much.